Junior Church may be dismissed.
Okay, I want to take another minute. If you served in the military, would you stand and give us your name and tell us what branch of service you served in, and remain standing after you do that. Start over here. Got a couple back there. Okay. All right, Mr. Brown, start. How about a nice round of applause for you? Thank you. You may be seated. You don't want to hear all my stories, I'm sure, and I've said some of them before. I have had seven brothers, eight of us. We all served in the military, four sisters. There was 12 of us in my family, and all of them married military men. I have four brothers that have gone on. They didn't die in combat. I attribute that to a praying mother. My mother prayed for us because we all like to do crazy things about jump out of airplanes. And used to ask him, "Where's your weapon, soldier?" "I am a weapon, sir." And that's kind of outfits we belong to. But we want to remember them today and honor all those who serve. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, and for those who would say we make too much to do out of it by bringing it into church, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. We need to remember our country. As you know good and well, it is in deep, dark trouble today. It's getting worse by the day. Tonight, I'm louder than you, bud. I can do it. Tonight, I'll be bringing a message about Israel. I don't know if you've watched the news. The one thing that worries me the most, not our economy, not our culture, not our schools, though they're in bad shape. They're really bad shape. We got in this mess with the news media, our liberal colleges and teachers, and all the other politicians that jumped in on that bandwagon. But those things, God can help us deliver us from. But the one thing that we're doing, that God promised there'd be a curse on anybody that turned their back on the nation of Israel. And our president and his administration is doing that right now. Do you hear me, people? He's turned his back on the nation of Israel. I'll tell you more about that tonight. But we're in trouble when we do that. And God promised he would bless anybody who helped that nation. In 1948, the United States declared that Israel would have their land and be a nation. Think about it right now. I'm jumping into my sermon tonight, I guess, this morning, but we'll get to it. All around Israel is an Arab nations. All around them. They're smaller than they are. The only real friend they have in the world is the United States. And we're turning our backs on them. We're in trouble. I want you to know that. We are in trouble because of that. We need to remember the wars that were fought. And most of our wars after the Revolutionary War, we had the Revolutionary War start. Then we had what they call the Second War for Independence, Naval War, and then the Civil War. But most of the rest of the wars were fought to help somebody else out. Not everything we've done has been good. There's always some bad apples in the basket. There's always somebody. There was some general who said, well, when we had a time of peace, he said, business is bad, and we don't have much business these days. That's unforgivable. We fight for the peace. But most of our wars have been blessed by God. God blessed the nation Israel. But think of the thousands of lives, and whether we realize it or not, we're, what, about 40-some miles from Gettysburg, where America lost the most lives of any war we fought. Think about that. Up to that point, I don't know in recent days about Afghanistan, because we were losing them on both sides, father and son, brother and brother fighting against each other. We fought that, and during that war, though it didn't start out to begin that way, became a national freedom cry to free the slaves. And we got the 13th and the 14th Amendment, and we freed them. And now we hear all this cry of Black Lives Matter and something else, and reparations, and on and on and on. And one of the things that I saw, being a history teacher, and you've heard me say this, but I want to say it again, in our public schools, is we begin to dumb down history. We begin to call it social studies. And we've raised a generation that don't understand how important it is to remember the monuments and all the things around us. When Lincoln was, they were ending the war, he said he wanted a band to play. We were having a special program in Washington. He wanted them to play Dixie because he wanted to honor the men who fought for what they thought was right. Robert E. Lee, one of the most intelligent, one of the most brilliant statisticians and military men there were, troubled himself and walked the floor all night to make a decision. Would he go with his home state, Virginia, or would he go with his country in the North? He decided to go with his home state, and he paid dearly for it. All those things that were made to count the blood that's been spilt and is being spilt right now in many of our streets. Deuteronomy 6:12 says, I'll leave that there. We want to talk some more about Israel tonight. Deuteronomy 6:12 says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the houses of bondage. We got here by people. There were basically three reasons for North America being occupied by people coming from Northern Europe. The people were coming from Southern Europe to Central and South America. They were looking for gold. The people were coming from North America, from North Europe to America, were looking for God. They were fighting the churches like that Methodist church. Finally decided they had enough of the Methodist church telling them what they could do and what they couldn't do. And we spent our time, don't talk about that. Those people gave everything. They lost friends, and some of them don't know what to do now. But they now are back up to about 60 or 70 people, and they're doing their church, praise God, right on, made many more of our kind. And Deuteronomy 8:2, and thou shalt remember, God says remember, remember the price of the wars, remember the price of the lives, remember the price of the sacrifices, and remember the Lord, which brought thy God, led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. When those people, you see, my dad used to have an expression, he'd worked around a blacksmith, I guess, he'd say, John, you got to hit the iron while it's hot. You know, we wait and wait and wait, and then it's too late. God got sick and tired of those people complaining about Moses and complaining, we can't go in and do it. Those eight people at Singer's Gap stuck to it. Stuck to it. Their friends were leaving them. They had no money. They were borrowing from other friends to get enough money to start to get out and have that church belong to them and be an independent Bible church. God was tired of his people saying, we can't go in. The giants are too big. It's too hard for us. This church, I'm sure, went through similar things. I wasn't with it then, but some of you knew people were. God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. God said, okay, you don't want to go into the promised land. I'll show you what mean and bad is. And to prove thee. You know, many people say, oh, the wars are killing people. Well, those people are killing people anyway. Our wars, you know, they tell us, just be nice to those people. Don't fight with them. And then they'll be okay. Yeah, we back off and they want this and they want that. And then they want some more and they want some more. To prove, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. What God says is right. And if what we say doesn't agree with God, we're wrong. We need to remember not only the sacrifices and lives and the wars of our country, but we need to remember our families and grandparents who laid down special things for us, money, lives, labor. Isaiah chapter 46. Now I say to you again, and hope I'm not being vain in my repetitions, that we've got into the mess we're in because we didn't remember. We didn't remember World War II. We didn't remember World War I. We don't remember the Civil War. The people don't know their hand from their eyes or which direction they're going. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. God said, you know, we have this idea, they have a different God, but they love him, and so we can all get together and have a big party. The Bible says there is one God, one Lord Jesus Christ, one Holy Spirit, one way, and there's no other way, and it's God's way. And if we mess around with that stuff, we get tainted with it. Many families have been cursed because they want to go, oh, I want to go check out some of those people. Stay away from the cults. Stay away from churches that don't believe the Bible, that don't believe in Jesus Christ as the only way. Stay away from them. You'll get yourself entangled into their mess. Oh, we got to loosen up a little bit. No, we need to tighten it up some more. Not only do we remember our families, but we need to remember those who've helped you along the way. I am where I am, and one of these days I'll be exiting, I'm sure. But I am where I am because I had parents that sacrificed. When I was a sophomore in high school, I saw my dad going out to the fields while we were still going to school, working by himself. I said to my mom, Mom, I'm going to quit school. I'm going to stay at home and help Dad. My mother said, you help your dad when you come home. You help your dad when you graduate from school. But every kid of mine is going to graduate. So my mom didn't take my smart answer. I had to go and finish school. I almost didn't. About got kicked out of school. The teacher wanted to kick me out. I should have been kicked out. I was pretty bad, stupid, dumb things I did. I won't tell you all of the crazy things I did. But my mother made sure I was there. They suspended me one time for 3 days. And I was afraid to go home and tell my dad, so I was going to spend the day in town and get on the bus and go home. Well, I caught a ride back to the elementary school where we got on the bus, and just as I was getting out of the car to ride her, my mom and dad come by. I thought, what are they doing here now? Dad said, what are you doing here? I said, well, they told me I had to leave school. They what? Well, come on, we're going down to the superintendent's office. You're going back to that school right now. And the teacher started, my dad said, I'll give him a whipping. I'll take care of it. If you want to whip him, you can whip him. But he's going back in that school. And they said, okay, Mr. Hodge. And I went back to school. I didn't want any more of that stuff either. Remember those who helped you. 1 Corinthians, Paul said, now in chapter 11, verse 2, now I praise thee, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. Paul said, remember me. Remember what I've taught you. Remember that. My dad used to stop, look at me and say, John, I know what I'm saying right now. You don't want to remember. You don't want to think about it. But one day, I'll probably be in my grave. You'll remember. There has been thousands of times his voice was speaking to me when I did something stupid and I thought, just like Dad said. He said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that's so laboring, you ought to support the weak. That's what we talked about Wednesday night if you weren't here. That's our job. We got problems, we're supposed to help solve them. People that don't know better, we're supposed to help them. To support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It was an honor. I never served on a team to deliver flags to people. They always give a flag to the widow or to one of the children at burials. First time I did that. But as I held that flag and gave his daughter a salute and told her what a thankful nation, thanked her for giving her her father and how he served, it was an honor. My heart pushed my chest out a little bit more. Cold chills go up and down, and then they turn to warm chills when you are involved in something like that and grew up like I did. Another experience that I had right after we went in the Army, they took us down to the place where they kept prisoners. They don't do that now. Had prisoners. Every prisoner in there had to take all of his patches off, all of his ribbons off. He wasn't allowed to salute the flag. And they took us down and showed us. I thought, God, I never want that to happen to me. I never want to be dishonored like that or dishonor my country or my family. So we need to remember some things. Another thing that we need to remember is you need to remember your Bible. When I went in the Army, one of the things they issued you with your clothes was a Bible. One of the things that they mandatorily did to us, marched us down to the chapel to listen to a service. And after he started telling us, when I got overseas, they did the same thing. They said, men are out here running the streets with harlots. They're catching diseases. They showed us figurative pictures on the screen. I thought, God, I don't want to have that happen to me. Numbers 15:20 says, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. You'll never be sorry for being holy. You'll never be sorry, he or she just too holy. I haven't seen that person yet that's too holy. We just think we're too holy when we get around people that we like to get around that want to smoke and chew and cuss you gotta let your hair down once in a while. Hodge, no sir. That stuff will get you further and further away from God. not closer to God. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. That means remember those and do those things which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He said, you know, Paul said, you've got the Old Testament. Now we're writing epistles, putting it together. Get that book out and remember it. When we take those kids up there and teach them to remember, 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 remember what the Bible says. During the Vietnam War, they put those guys in cells. And they found out they were praying together, so they separated them. They would then tap out messages because in the special forces, many of them had that training. They could tap that out. They'd tap that out. One man said from the time he left home till he went in the army, he never went back in a church. But when he was a POW in North Hanoi, he said when he was in there, the lessons that he learned in vacation Bible school came back to him. And he put together a good portion of the Gospel of John and would make copies of it. They took cloth and made flags and put them up and got down on their knees and prayed. The communist Vietnamese came in and drug him out and beat him before all the rest of them. They sent him back in where his body lay beaten. Those men gathered up some rags, colored the flag, and took it and dropped it in his cell and he started making the flag again. God bless the USA. We don't know the price that many have suffered and paid for the flag. Number five, remember Jesus. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. People think that every time somebody's having trouble, they did something wrong. It might be what you're doing right. Job was doing, the Bible says he was trying to be a perfect man. God said to Satan, have you considered him? Have you seen Job? Man that walks right, does right. He said, oh, he just does it because you love me. You treat him right. God said, do anything you want, but you can't have his life. That's the only thing God's promised you, not to be free from trouble, not to be free to have people reject you, not to have people free from doing you wrong. No, he said you're going to have it. You're going to have it. You're going to have it. He said your own house will be your first enemy at times. You're going to have that stuff. He said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. You know why they hate Tim Tebow? I don't care whether you like the Jaguars or not. I'm not a fan of theirs, but I am a fan of Tim. He was born on the mission field. He tried to live out, when he was playing football, he put John 3:16 and John 3:36 in the shade that he puts. They hate him because he's a Christian. That's why they hate him. They hate him because he loves Jesus. Whether he plays on a winning team or a losing team or my team, I'm not into that. But I am into somebody who will take a stand in a public forum for God. We can all hide in the church. What are you when you leave the church? Are you able to say amen then and God bless the USA? Are you able to do all that stuff then? That's where the rubber meets the road. That's when it counts. I don't know what caused him to get cancer and die, but when he started helped start this church and other churches, Dick Myers, as a young man, he got cancer and he died. But his memory lives on. He took his first group of people out of the American Baptist Church in Saltillo and took them out of the church, because the church was in the National Council of Churches and started a church. They had a crowd so big, the fire department come in, said, you got too many people in here. Joe Miller Church of God in Chambersburg, stood up one morning and said, okay, we're starting a new church. We're going to walk out of here, and we're going to call it the Open Door Church. I'm opening the door, and let's go out and start a church. One of the biggest churches in the state of Pennsylvania because of what he did. Men who took stands, remember, 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 remember. Remember Jesus. We'll be having communion again. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. If you don't get your Bible out, and if you don't attend communion, after a while you don't think about Jesus much. But when you have prayer time with him, meditation time with him, remember Bible verses from his Bible, you'll be thinking about him when the devil's bombarding you with all the worldly trash he can put into your head. They don't make many movies. I get to see Red Skelton every once in a while. Can you get him on your TV? That's kind of funny, isn't it? And Dick Van Dyke and his wife the other night, we saw that. And he did the same thing when he took a cup. Think of that. You know, we see the cross as kind of a bad thing. If you could really visualize what it was like, they had already beat him and cut his body, and his back was like a piece of raw meat. His head was bloody from the thorns pushed down him with the crown. His feet were nailed to the cross. His wrists were nailed to the cross. And he was hanging there, dying in agony, wanting a drink of water. And they gave him some vinegar, something mixed with gall that tastes bad. Think about that. That's what he said. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament of my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. We don't go home and say, oh, well, I took communion for another month, so I'm going to be okay. That's what some churches do, you know. Did you take communion? Have you taken your communion yet? I want to know, have you been on your knees before God? Have you talked to God? Chase him up this way. If I catch him, I'll hold him. Psalm 119, verse 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. I have kept thy law. I've remembered thee. When you get into the dark spots at night, the shadows are dark around you. I'm talking about spiritually and figuratively and maybe really. And if you've hid God in your heart during the day, then you will not fear what man can say and what man can do and what bill is due and what friend has turned his back on you and what family hates you or whatever's going on in your life. Remember him, because there'll be a dark day when you're going to need that memory to keep your heart beating right. I'm telling you, in the dark times of your life, if you haven't had God, you see, he's not the dessert. He's the main meal. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. Come to the water. Come to Jesus. Remember your church. I don't have it there, but you know it. I quote it often. We should quote it some more, but not to you, to other people. In Hebrews 10:25, where he said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. Some people think it's all right just to cop out. Everything is more important than church. Everything. Every place. Go every place. I get to go to church when I got time. I can't come to church because I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I thought it was the other way around. They said to Jesus, his mom and dad, where have you been, boy? You worried us to death. Must you know I've been about my Father's business. My Father's business is more important, Mom and Dad. I love you, Mom and Dad, but my Father in heaven is more important. That's the most important thing in my life. It's more important. They came to Jesus another time and said, hey, your mother and your brother and sisters are outside. He said, these are my brothers and sisters and my mother. I put God first. I put him first. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners and fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And he says in Peter, we are a chosen people, a royal. We have citizenship in heaven written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask you to come meet with me, is what God is saying. You need to remember who you are. You need to work on your weaknesses. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not very good at science and biology, and I forget how much it is, but we have so many feet of blood vessels in our body. You ever think about that? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows more about the body. Like I said to those people at that funeral, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, but when God says to the death angel, bring him up, you're going. You're going. You don't have to get 80 years old. You don't have to get 100. I saw on the news where they're saying now they know they can make us live to 120 years old. Who would want to stay in this place for that long anyway? I mean, come on. Live your life, enjoy your life, live for Christ, but when it comes time to go, go with some same enthusiasm that God put you here. He said, I am wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And think of this, of all the things that God made, the most important thing is you. Adam was the crowning jewel when God made the earth. Lastly, remember you're responsible. You are responsible. When I was teaching school, I'd have those kids that were getting their driver's license. They sit back there in a chair. Look at me, Mr. Hodge. Go get my driver's license tomorrow. I said, are you going to be on the road? Could you tell me what time? They said, why? I said, I won't be off of it. And then come fall, the 12-year-olds were sitting there. Got you, Mr. Hodge. Get my hunting license tomorrow. I said, where are you going to be hunting? You're responsible. I told him, you're responsible for that vehicle. Somebody throws a beer can out the window, you're responsible. That bullet ricochets and kills somebody, you're responsible. Some guy steps out from behind the building, you were shooting in that direction, you're responsible. That's what I tried to tell him. Every one of us shall give an account of himself, Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We talk about at the judgment, the wiping away of tears. I always said, and I still think it is, that we're weeping over loved ones and friends that didn't make it. Another thing I think the tears are going to be at the bema seat of Christ, when God has to tell us, you know, you didn't do everything you should have done. And you shouldn't have done this. You should have done that. He covered all of our sins, but we have to give an account. My good friend, at least he says he is, he keeps asking me for money to build another network. President Donald Trump said this, remember this. My dad used to say this too. I'm sure it's a quote from back there somewhere. Remember this, nothing worth doing ever came easy. Be true to yourself and your country and your beliefs. Okay? Remember. I hope you feel like you've been to a Memorial Remembering Day service and remember those. And if you know of someone who's lost someone, say thank you for your service. I've always said, I'm not a hero. I served with some. My oldest brother was a real hero on Heartbreak Ridge. The whole unit had left. He was up there by himself. Chinese. He was throwing rocks at Chinese. They thought he was mental. He said, if I can't shoot him, I'll beat him to death with rocks. He was a hero. He went from corporal to master sergeant in 1 week. So he was a hero. Got the Silver Star. Got the Bronze Star. I never got anything. But that's all right. I knew him. Got to help out. I had another brother that got to be a colonel. I never got much past PFC to start with. My older brother told the general one time, he said, if my brother John had all of his promotions, he'd be an E-13. But he gets busted. Another guy said he was going to put zippers on my stripes so I could zip them on and off because I spent too much time sewing stripes and ripping them off. Kind of funny, but it's very near the truth, honest. But God didn't give up on me. Mama didn't give up on me. And so I came through, and I can say I've been with heroes. And I was really honored. I feel a little bit unlikely to share it, but Saturday, both Dave and Pastor Dahl said I was their hero. I said, my goodness, this world's in lack of heroes if I'm their hero. But they said I was their hero. I told them, I said, look, I'm humbled by that. They said it while they were live on the news. I don't know why Gary's felt so in love with me, but he calls me about every day, praying for me, wanting to know how I'm doing. And by the way, in closing this morning, I'll give you the latest rundown. I'm going to Pittsburgh on Wednesday. They're going to open up some more. I don't know how many centimeters, millimeters, or whatever it is. It's open. Mine's only open a half. They're going to try to get it open. And before it wasn't open all the way. Now it's open all the way, but you got to get open more. So that's going to be part of it. The other part of it is I've been screaming, isn't there something else you can do? Well, I found out they make prostheses for your mouth because my muscles is scarred from all that radiation to push my food back to where it's supposed to go. Ha-ha. My sister found it. So they're going to meet with that team. If that team can't do it, my brother, who's kid brother, they all passed me. He's command sergeant major. He said that down in the Walter Reed, John, they got a whole section of the hospital just for that. So I'm not giving up. I hope you're not. Keep praying for me. I'm a mess, ain't I? You should have saw me before I was saved. I was really a mess then. You wouldn't have liked me at all. You'd have said, get that guy out of here, put him in jail. I never was in jail, but I came close one time. I was in Hawaii, and me and my buddy was out having fun, and we had something to help us make fun, you know what I mean. And the cops picked us up, and they got us to the door, and I had lost my ID card, and they gave me a temporary. And I was trying to tell the guy, that's my ID card. He said, no, you're lying. And he called in another guy. He said, no, that's good. I said, phew. He said, you get out of here and get back to Schofield Barracks, or I will put you in jail. That was the nearest time. Okay? Are you remembering? Are you remembering? You want your kids to remember? If you don't remember, you're kidding. My dad would throw us in the back of an old farm truck with a bunch of straw and he and Mom were the babies up front. Every Memorial Day, we went to the cemetery where his dad, my granddad, who I never met, and grandma was buried, and we had our, and Mom made that hand-squashed lemonade, and it was evermore good, and we would have celebrate Memorial Day, and we never forgot it, no matter what was going on. We always did that. So I remember that. You get what I'm telling you? Your kids are not going to remember if you don't remember. Take them to Gettysburg before they take down those monuments that make us remember what a terrible price this country paid to be a country and what Lincoln did. They want to tear down his. They want to tear it all down. They're stupid. That's our history. It happened. You can't make it go away by throwing a monument aside. It happened. It really happened. And make sure they know they're saved and on their way to heaven. Tell somebody about Jesus today. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your salvation, your mercy, for your promise of a home in heaven, for all the good gifts. I thank you for these lovely people you've given to me to pastor. Lord, I just pray that we can keep on keeping on, do more than we've done in the past, out there in the future, before you come back and take us home. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us salvation. Is there anyone here while heads are bowed and the piano starts playing that has any doubts about your salvation? You doubt whether you're ready for heaven. If God would ring your number this afternoon, tonight, would you be in heaven tomorrow? We were having a revival. My wife gathered up our boys and brought them down. And she said, Daryl, if you died tonight, tomorrow, would you be in heaven? He said, Mom, I wouldn't have to wait till tomorrow. I'd be there tonight. That's the kind of answer you ought to have. 1 second, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Okay, God, we got an army. We got a people that are saved. Help us to do your work in Jesus' name. Amen. We're singing what number? Where is she? Oh, scared me to death. I thought the rapture took place. But I wondered why they were still here.
Surprise.
147. Go. Oh, my wife, when one of the boys would cut up, she'd take him out down at Fort Bragg, and Boulevard was pretty busy. And one of my sons said, she's going to cause a wreck one of these days. She takes us out there and bends us over her knee and just beats us and then brings us back in and says, that's just a little bit of what you're going to get. I'm sorry. I know it was nerve-wracking to you. Didn't bother me that much. Yeah. Okay. All right. Bill, you want to have a closing prayer, please?